Hey, everybody, you are listening to my Monday midday monologue. My name is Russ, and thank you for clicking play or downloading this podcast. I really appreciate it. Every Monday, I take the opportunity to reflect upon the previous week's creative endeavors and to plug whatever's coming up this week. It's that perfect pivotal moment in time to look back and forward at the same time. And today is Martin Luther King Day, so happy Martin Luther King Day. Dr. King's birthday was actually Friday, but we celebrated on Monday because of some act passed by Congress back in the early 70s, I think, where such holidays were scheduled to happen on Mondays only. So federal employees had three-day weekends. That's why, like, President's Day and Columbus Day, Labor Day, Memorial Day, they all fall on Mondays for that reason. And Martin Luther King's birthday is among those days. So we celebrate it today. And I'm doing so I'm celebrating it in two ways. One, I'm wrapping up production on my latest issue of Amazing Arizona Comics. Amazing Arizona Comics satirizes Arizona news, culture, and history with superhero adventure. And in the latest issue, number 19, I'm working on it right now, I'm starting a mega arc that will last all year long, all of 2016, where Santa Claus teams up with my local Arizona superheroes to get back in touch with his humanity and to make a difference in the world for the other 364 days of the year, to tackle some of mankind's greatest and smallest issues. I gotta say, I've never been more excited about this book because I've had the idea of a Santa Claus story like this for years and years. What does Santa Claus do the rest of the year? And now to contextualize it in Arizona current events and pop culture makes it all the more meaningful for me, what with me living in Phoenix and all. So you could check out AmazingArizonaComics.com for more information about that. I say that I'm producing this comic in part to celebrate MLK Day because the KKK are the villains in issue number 19 as a blatant nod to Martin Luther King's birthday. That might sound crude and insensitive and maybe even glamorous or exploitative, but I hope when you read the issue, you understand the intentions and you see the thematic connection there. But the other way I'm celebrating this day is by reading and thinking about Sean Penn's article in the Rolling Stone about El Chapo. What does that have to do with MLK Day? Well, let me explain if I can in a very weird, potentially haphazard way. But I read this article over the weekend because it was getting a lot of hype in pop culture and entertainment media. I wanted to know what the hype was about. So I grabbed an issue of Rolling Stone, sat down and read this piece. And if you aren't familiar, here it is in a nutshell. Sean Penn, through connections in Hollywood and the Mexican underworld, basically flew to central Mexico where perhaps, I guess, the world's greatest fugitive, El Chapo, a Mexican drug lord, he was in hiding there. And so Sean Penn was able to fly out to this central Mexican jungle, meet the legendary El Chapo, recently escaped from prison, just like out of a comic book or a short-lived Fox TV show. He's hiding out there. Sean Penn beats the DEA and the Mexican government and everybody else to finding him. They have a brief conversation. The conversation is basically about how they will meet again to have a legitimate interview. And then shortly after Sean Penn flies back to L.A., those plans are squashed because El Chapo is once again arrested. And so he writes this article about that experience, the journey, the channels leading up to the journey, and then the thoughts he had afterward. He was just on 60 Minutes speaking to Charlie Rose about his intentions behind this piece, behind the journey itself, and how he basically wanted to start or rekindle the conversation about America's war on drugs. He asks some very important questions. Why do we demonize or vilify one man like El Chapo, when if that man was executed tomorrow, the addictions of so many remain, and El Chapo is just then replaced in the food chain, or in this case, the drug trade? So is it wise and fair of us to put one man on the chopping block when it is truly America's addiction to this stuff that is the great villain? That's how I'm interpreting his intentions. That is not how I interpreted the article, which was basically Sean Penn's great odyssey to central Mexico to meet this, I don't want to say celebrated or glamorized person, but definitely a person of intrigue and mystique. Perhaps he's like the bizarro version of the most interesting man in the world that doesn't always drink beer, but when he does, So I didn't get that impression from Sean Penn's article that he had the hearts and minds of America's drug-addicted youth pressing upon his soul. I saw it more as an opportunity that if you're in that position of influence, you'd be a fool to deny. I mean, I can't fault him for taking this journey, but I can fault him for potentially taking that opportunity to make himself seem a little bit more like a saint. And in the interview with Charlie Rose, he says, well, we're not having the discussion I had hoped we would about America's drug-addicted youth and who is the true villain. So I failed. I failed in my cause. So not only has he sainted himself as the guy able to get to El Chapo, but then he's martyred himself as the guy that couldn't get his mission fulfilled, or at least not to the extreme he would want us to believe he had in mind. Okay. But how does that connect to Martin Luther King? Well, Dr. King encouraged us to look at the content of somebody's character. We all know that famous quote from his I Have a Dream speech. And Sean Penn's article does that for El Chapo. We know he's a Mexican drug lord. We know that dozens, hundreds of murders can be traced back to his reign. We know that thousands, if not an innumerable amount of addiction can be traced back to his supply. And yet in this article, Sean Penn depicts El Chapo as a gracious host, hospitable with his quarters, albeit in the jungle. They have tequila. They share some laughs. El Chapo ignores a little quote-unquote traveler's flatulence, as Sean Penn writes about breaking wind in front of the drug lord. The questions that he was able to get answers to before the change in plans, you know, Sean Penn had some questions answered by El Chapo before that big interview they were going to have, before El Chapo had to flee and go to another undisclosed location, which is, I presume, the one that he was caught at. But questions about, you know, do you still talk to your mother? What's your relationship like with your family? Do you have hopes and dreams? Stuff like that. Now, that's why I have doubt about Sean Penn's intentions. There may be questions to which we did not get the answers. But at the end of the day, a lot of what I read was less about America's dependence on the drug trade and more about how El Chapo, well, might be a good role for an actor to play in a movie. And that might sound biased from a nobody like me, but why else is an actor turned journalist? I'll even give him that kind of credit, Sean Penn. Why else is he flying out to Mexico to talk to El Chapo? I mean, the papers were speculating. And anyway, the point of what I'm trying to express is that Sean Penn assigns some humanity to who is otherwise one of reality's greatest supervillains. Again, we're getting to the content of El Chapo's character, despite his behavior, his actions. And it makes me wonder, how would Dr. King read such an article today? How would he feel about our humanizing villains like that? Let me go into a realm where I'm more familiar. Comic books, comic book movies. Next month, one of the most anticipated movies of the year is coming out. It's Deadpool. It's rated R, and it's a superhero movie that might take place in the same X-Men universe as the X-Men movies and Wolverine. Now, Deadpool is at best an anti-hero, along the lines of, say, The Punisher. But here we have one of our first mainstream superhero movies, rated R. Explain to a kid whose parents actually care whether or not they see a rated R movie why he can't see it. It's a superhero, just like Wolverine. Oh, no, that's an anti-hero. Try explaining that to a 12-year-old. You see where the barometer goes from hero a little closer to villain, and anti-hero is along the way. Again, what is the content of Deadpool's character? And is it one we can align with the likes of other superheroes so we understand the context of his motivations and actions? Or is it all just entertainment? Of course, it's all just entertainment. We'll say the same of Harley Quinn when she makes her cinematic debut in Suicide Squad later this year. The Joker, one of comicdom's most heinous villains, he killed Robin at least once, maybe more since then. I'm only emotionally connected to the one time, but he's killed Robin. He paralyzed Batgirl. A lot of implications to that. He's a bad guy as far as bad guys go, and yet his girlfriend, Harley Quinn, and the word girlfriend is used loosely, more of a stick with an addiction problem to him, codependence, if you will. But there's his girlfriend as she's perceived in mainstream culture, and now she's a little closer to superhero by way of anti-hero alongside others in the Suicide Squad. Now, again, explain that to little girls looking for a positive female role model in these movies, as we're told we should be looking for. Hence, Wonder Woman's inclusion in Batman vs. Superman, as if those two names weren't enough on the billing. The bitterness is seeping in here because, again, we're talking about the content of one's character. And it doesn't seem to matter whether it's good or bad. It's just that we know it. It's a struggle to understand why these things attain such mainstream awareness, such pop culture, such status in the pop culture zeitgeist, I guess. I could blame social media as a bitter old man now. I could say that Facebook is to blame. The more we expose ourselves, the more we hope our heroes and villains are exposed so that they're not setting standard on either side of the spectrum, but so that they're a little closer to the middle, like us. I was thinking about Bill Cosby last week, too, as I heard a Michael Jackson song on the radio. It made me remember the controversy around Michael Jackson not too long ago, and how that all just kind of came to a stop when Michael Jackson unfortunately passed away. That's part of the reason I was thinking about him. We're losing so many rock stars now. Glenn Frey today. David Bowie last week. I was thinking about when Michael Jackson died and how the controversy just ended and his music was played on the radio as if none of those accusations had happened. And yet you have Bill Cosby. Perhaps comedies, Michael Jackson, an African-American of some stature in pop culture, presumably timeless. You know, you say Michael Jackson or Wacko Jacko, whatever, you know, Prince of Pop. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I say the name Cosby. Well, that's one of those celebrities like I was talking about last week, where you say Elvis or Carson, Bowie, you know exactly who and what I'm talking about. With Cosby, it's comedy. Well, now it's something else entirely, something that apparently the entertainment industry knew enough about so that it became stand-up fodder. Now, when Hannibal Buress made that joke, it got dragged into the 24/7 news cycle, into social media. And then Cosby was exposed. Did it literally take this long for pop culture to catch up to what was once just Hollywood gossip? With the inclusion of social media in this process, does it drag everything out into the light, again exposing the content of one's character, good or bad? I think Michael Jackson just missed that tip. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. That stuff existed when we were accusing Michael Jackson of these things, when he was guilty in the court of public opinion, but he just missed, by way of his own mortality, how that stuff could truly conquer and control your image. And so now the music continues to play on the radio, whereas Bill Cosby's comedy may not find itself in reruns, the Cosby Show, the beloved hour-long specials. Even kids saying the darndest things, gone because of this man's character. And so I think it just begs some study and introspection on Martin Luther King's birthday, that all of these things are connected by our perceptions of one another. Whether that perception stops on the outside, the color of one's skin, or whether it goes a little deeper to not just character, but our interconnectivity, the way we're connected with one another. How what one person does affects what the other person does and affects how the other person sees them, and so on, from stand-up comedy to comic books and movies to your career, your life. Wow, that got deep, but I think appropriately so. I mean, it's the man's birthday, for crying out loud. I don't even know how old he would be today, would have been on Friday, I should say. But if he were alive, I wonder what he would think of social media and the way it truly does expose the content of people's character. I wonder if this is part of the dream, that society and the world would just do it for you. You know, if you're not going to tell us who you really are, if you're not going to allow us the opportunity to see who you really are beneath the skin by which we judge you, well, then technology will do it. Culture will do it, rest assured. So happy birthday, Dr. King. In that small part, perhaps your dream has been realized. Whew. Well, what's coming up? At the end of the month, I am participating in a storytelling zine swap at Ash Avenue Comics. It's the last Friday of the month, final Friday. The theme of the evening is, quote, "the first in the gang to die," a line from a Morrissey song. And so I'll be talking about that in my own way. I probably already said what I'll talk about, but now I'll try to pretend I didn't and leave it spoiler-free. So if you're in the Phoenix area, travel out to Tempe to Ash Avenue Comics, one of the Valley's best comic book shops, and check out that unique event. It promises to be a great time. Okay, other than that, again, keep an eye on AmazingArizonaComics.com, or you could follow me on Instagram at AmazingAZComics to see how Amazing Arizona Comics number 19 is coming along. Swimmingly, that's what I'll say right now. It's coming along swimmingly. And you can check that stuff out. In the meantime, this was My Monday Midday Monologue. Catch you next time.